Hello everyone, welcome back. Today's class we look at selecting the right estimation technique. So we'll do a quick recap of what we've done so far. We've looked at project, we've looked at estimation, then we've looked at some of the project management methodologies, things like the waterfall model, things like the agile framework. More importantly, where could these be applied to? So say for example, which are the situations where waterfall model will really work well? In terms of the agile framework, so we all looked at the agile model as a model that adapts to the changing landscape. So where the project is dynamic in nature, where the business requirements are unclear, where the overall expectations of the stakeholders keep changing, that's where the agile framework is used more often. And then we looked at some of the different methodologies within the agile framework. So things like Scrum, where you have the sprint meetings, you have Kanban, you have different other systems, things like say extreme programming, things like Lean, etc. Some of these frameworks have been adapted from manufacturing domain to the IT domain. And we also looked at some of the nuances of each of these project management methodologies. We then looked at WBS or the work breakdown structure. We looked at the different levels of WBS and the two types of WBS in the form of a phase-based WBS or a delivery-based WBS. Highlighting the merits, demerits of each. More importantly, where a WBS gets used, so in terms of breaking down a high-level job into multiple smaller chunks of work which are more measurable, attributable. And then we saw how WBS can be used. We then spared some time to look at the different project estimation techniques. Techniques like a top-down approach or a bottom-up approach, things like the three-point scenario of estimation, etc., etc. So these gave different kinds of perspective around the estimation techniques. And again, we spent good amount of time understanding each of the estimation techniques, the merits and demerits of each, and how and where these have to be used. We also looked at some of the project attributes, things like cost, things like quality, risk, resources, etc., etc. We saw how the project attributes contribute when it comes to the overall project execution and the project delivery life cycle. We saw some of the decisions that a project manager has to take, things between allocation, scheduling, estimation, some of the rules which serve more as guidelines when it comes of estimation. So in this particular chapter, we look at how do we select the right estimation technique. So having looked at the multiple estimation techniques, top-down, bottom-up, analogous estimation, the three-point estimation technique, etc., etc., let us now look at how do you select this what is the way to go about it. So we will look at it from a project manager perspective, how these things contribute in the overall success of a project. So we start obviously by a high-level introduction around the topic. Then we spare some time around the padded estimates. That is, how can a cushioning or some kind of a buffer over the estimates is required in certain cases, while in some cases how it can be detrimental to the overall project journey. Then we'll also look at underestimating might lead to say loss of stakeholder credibility. Underestimation might lead to increased timelines, increased cost, not managing the stakeholder expectations, and so on. And then we explore the classical case of the estimator's dilemma. We will also look at estimates accuracy and how to improve the accuracy, why is it important, and factors that affect the quality of estimates. We will look at selection of the estimation techniques. Although we had a high level view of this particular topic while we were discussing the different styles of estimation, so we will look at selecting this and some of the best practices. And like always, we'll stitch everything together with our course, which gives meaningful content to the overall discussion. So let's deep dive into this. So whether it's a expert estimation or even when formal estimation techniques are used, humans play a key role in terms of the estimates. And I say this because in case of expert estimation, that's where the project manager looks at a subject matter expert or domain consultant or a person who has a significant amount of experience in creating those estimates. As the domain consultant or the functional expert knows the topic really well, so the project manager relies on the expert's estimation to create the overall estimates of the project. So humans, and obviously the expert in this case is, if you are talking about a SME or a domain consultant, he's at the end of the day human, right? So like we saw while we were looking at an expert estimation technique, this is prone to human biases. And because it's humans have a big role to play, there is a great amount of bias that can come in this particular estimation technique. Because it is entirely dependent on the expertise or the preference of the estimator, this particular, I mean, the human angle is really important when we look at the overall estimation. So in formal estimation methods, human touch is visible in the quality of the input data and the accuracy of historical information obtained and fed to the system. So again, as I said, because a lot of it is dependent on the humans who are estimating it, the quality of input data is really important because that's the source data on which an estimate will be built. So unless there is good amount of accuracy in that particular source data, that input quality, you will not have the desired results in terms of the output. Also things like the person's behavior. And as we said, there can be a human bias when it comes to estimates. If a formal or a complete automation process is not really used, there could be human biases. So the human behavior, such as in some situations, we tend to be too conservative, and that's where you pad up a lot of extra buffer, extra room. Or in some cases, you tend to be too optimistic, which in turn might be good in some cases, but it might also mean that you are too aggressive, which means that while the project is actually getting deployed, it might not be able to adhere to the timelines that were earlier envisaged. So in either cases, it reflects on the estimates being either too conservative, that is overestimated, or too optimistic, so which is underestimated. As such, estimation problems almost always boil down to estimates that are too high or too low, right? So it's like saying when There is, say, a income tax inquiry that needs to happen. Either the top end gets into trouble or the bottom end gets into trouble. Because these are two extremes, right? So even in this case, suppose you have an estimate that is absolutely aggressive. You've quoted very low price points and very aggressive timelines. So when I say aggressive timelines, that means you've quoted, say, 6 weeks for a project, which would typically take, say, 10 weeks, right? So these are aggressive timelines. And you've given, say, a really ridiculously low cost. So that's a aggressive estimate. And even if, say, it's a too conservative estimate, so say for a typical 8 weeks of delivery time, you've quoted, say, 14 weeks. And say for, say, 100 rupees of work, you've quoted, say, 140 rupees, which means that you've buffered a lot of cushion, maybe that margin of safety, that particular contingency you factored, additional amount of contingency which was not really needed. So in either case, both these approaches get highlighted in the eyes of the management who is actually reviewing those. Project and delivery managers generally prefer higher estimates. Because it gives them room to adjust, right? So a higher estimate means that they don't have any time pressures to deliver. Neither do they have very stringent cost pressures to adopt the resources, etc. So from a project manager's perspective, they would want to have a lot of room built into the particular estimate. A lot of safety net for the particular estimate so that they are in their comfort zone. Now, at the end of the day, the project manager wouldn't want to be on the receiving side all the time, where he is questioned in every morning meeting, what is the schedule, why is it not getting delivered, etc. So if he would have, say, estimated, that is, the project manager would have given a conservative estimate, that means he would have already buffered the additional hours and then given a bloated timeline. Say, even in terms of cost, he would have padded up a lot of cushion. So, where, say, typically 5 resources are needed, he would have bundled for 8, right? And so that even if there are certain resources that are not available, or certain resources are on busy on other projects, he can wait for those resources to be free. It also means that there is less dependency on the resources, which means he can look at a more inexperienced resources, because it gives time for them to learn, because the project timelines committed are pretty easy to manage. So from a project manager perspective or the delivery manager's perspective, they would prefer a estimate which has a lot of cushion already built in, so that they don't have to work under a lot of time pressure. But also, if we look at it from the management perspective, typically from the business stakeholders' perspective or the senior management's perspective, they would want to move things very quickly so as to have the right applause from the relevant stakeholders. Because senior management would want to generally finish off projects quickly and then show those results as business outcomes to their top management, they would want to set aggressive timelines for the entire project scope. So it's basically a kind of a tug of war. And from the perspective of senior management, they are not wrong, in my opinion, when they say that they need an aggressive timeline, because they need a more business outcome that has to be delivered to the end customers or to their stakeholders. And that's where they would need this proper justification to happen, that how a project has shaped up as per what was envisaged. Was it able to deliver the right kind of results? Was it able to match the expectation that were set initially? So the senior management would prefer to getting things done very quickly. So the only way for a project manager to avoid this particular conflict and conflict in terms of estimating too little or estimating too much is to work with the team to produce the estimates that are as accurate as possible. Work with the stakeholders, work with the business owners to figure out what exactly is the timeline that they are looking at, and why is that timeline really sacrosanct? Is there a business outcome attached to it? Maybe the organization is looking at, say, very tighter timelines because they have a regulatory compliance to meet, correct? That's where they cannot expect the project to go beyond a certain date. So project manager needs to understand this particular expectation. Also maybe work with the on-ground team to understand which task has to be assigned, what should be the activity list, etc., etc. So maybe look at a detailed WBS structure and then manage the expectations both from the external perspective, that is talking to the business advisory board, talking to the customer stakeholders, etc., and also taking a view from the internal stakeholders. So maybe utilize things like WBS, etc. By adopting a sound estimation technique that allow the teams and the project manager to reach a consensus, overall predictable outcome is desired, right? So as I said, the idea is to not just be or not just have human biases in the estimate, but have more of a you know, kind of a collaborative approach where you could get these input from both sides of the line and then try and match those expectations. So if there is a regulatory reason for which a project needs to go live, then obviously that has to happen and it has to be prioritized. At the same time, if there are a lot of change requests coming in or there is a lot of scope that gets revised, so even those have to be communicated to the business owners, mentioning that because of such reasons, it is causing delay in the overall timelines. So the project manager here has a absolutely important role to balance the estimates of both sides of the party. Typically, when we see fresher engineers estimate, they are more likely to be optimistic in nature. And why is that so? It's not because a fresher comes with new thoughts or he's likely to be more optimistic by nature, nothing of that sort. But the whole point is that when you have new people who are absolutely new to the industry, maybe new to the particular business estimate, they wouldn't have seen what are say the some of the on-ground challenges, right? So maybe give you a small example. If say a particular task has to be done in 2 days, which talks about say a new change request, which is a small change request, maybe say only 2 lines of code that gets pushed to the live system. So maybe the way a fresher would estimate is give a very aggressive timeline to that. What he would or what the fresher might not have thought would be say some of the dependencies, some of the risks involved, because of which the project might take a little more time than was anticipated. So again, so as I said, the fresher might not look at all the different aspects before submitting an estimate. And you know, everyone when they join as a project manager or as an estimator, they would want to be more aggressive. But again, aggressive at what cost? Should the overall project timelines be compromised, or the quality of the deliverables be compromised? So that's the big question. These freshers, they generally feel that the overall work can be completed in a much shorter amount of time. And as I said, there is nothing wrong in it, right? It's their nature. I mean, when you are new, when you are not exposed to the realities, you think that it's like a piece of cake. It should happen. I mean, we live in a utopia world where things should happen the way they are envisaged. But the on-ground reality, the on-ground challenges might be quite different. Say if you are trying to deploy a particular CR and you face a server outage at the same time, correct? I mean, how bad a situation can that be? Server outage while rolling out a change request, I mean, surely these things are not anticipated. And that is the reason why you would generally have timelines that are more sacrosanct with the overall environment. So freshers, as I said, might not really have thought of these situations because they are new to the business. And that is the reason they might, in their enthusiasm, often say underestimate the actual work and commit a short time to the project. So just out of naivety, maybe not knowing the scenario, not anticipating the right risks, challenges, stakeholder expectations, etc., they would give a aggressive estimate. Freshers, as I said, might also ignore problems that might come up later. The case in time of, say, a server outage, or maybe, say, a issue with resources not being available on that particular day or during the project time, because they are more involved in some other activities or some other places. So padded estimates or aggressive estimates that are set by freshers in this particular case does not help the overall success of the project. The project manager, on the other hand, would have seen many failures or issues in the past and is therefore very cautious about the estimates. He would then tend to pad up the engineer's estimate and starts building a lot of cushion to add some time for the unforeseen events that might crop up in the future. So that's what I said. On one side, you would have, say, the freshers who are sharing a very aggressive estimate. But on the other side, you would have project managers who would have, and these are experienced project managers, who would have seen many deployment cycles, seen many phases of seasonalities, where in some season the resources are less, in some situation the load on the system is more, etc. So they would have seen the different seasonalities, understood the patterns of consumption, and then build up those estimates. So inherently they would add a lot of cushion or margin for safety and then share these estimates. So what they tend to do is, again, they are padding up the estimates, right? Which again might not be the best thing to do. So it's very tempting to pad up these estimates. So say from a project manager's perspective, just imagine yourself in their shoes. I mean, you would want to have, say, a comfortable deployment cycle, correct? You wouldn't want to ask people to work for 12 hours or 14 hours in a day just to complete something because of aggressive timelines. So it's natural for anyone to have this additional cushion, have this additional margin of safety, since they lead to, say, longer schedules and less pressure on the delivery manager. Though these kind of padded estimates, they are better for the project manager and the overall delivery team, because I mean, as I said, no one wants to have a work pressure that's too pressurizing. So they would want to have more of a breather space for the project manager and the delivery teams. The stakeholders start realizing the extra buffer built into the estimate, which means that the project timelines get stretched, and also it means that the costs that are associated keep spiraling up. So as and when the project takes longer to deliver, which means higher number of resources would typically work on that particular project, and that is the reason why you see say higher cost estimates being apportioned to that particular project. In fact, the stakeholders, the moment they see a lot of padded estimates and which are without any business justifications, so say typical say a scenario where there is only a front end change to the application to be made, right? And if the customer is also well aware about the change, he would have a set timeline in mind, seeing that this particular job doesn't need more than, say, a couple of hours to be done. Maybe say 4 to 5 hours, and then add additional couple of hours for testing, etc., and just put it into the live system. If for such a small thing they get an estimate of saying that this requires, say, 1 week's effort, so the business owners who are pretty seasoned about the requirement, they might feel cheated that such estimates are built with say dishonesty, and that's where the entire intention of the software vendor making undue amount of profits, taking undue advantage of the situation, because it's a preferred software vendor who is doing the implementation work, is taking undue advantage of the entire situation. So it doesn't go really well with the business owners, the project stakeholders, if they see a lot of these padded estimates. Underestimating on the other side may lead to loss of credibility. So even underestimating is not a ideal situation to be. Just like padding up or overestimating leads to say higher project duration timelines, higher cost, etc., underestimating also typically is not that great. Underestimating the project causes the staff to be overloaded and hence frustrated at the same time. So what happens is that the same project, say if it was to be delivered within say 10 weeks, and the project estimator has underestimated this to be delivered within 6 weeks. So what you've done is, although the amount of resources remain the same, right? So say there were 5 people who were working on the project. Earlier, they had 10 weeks to deliver the particular functionality. On the other side, if someone has given an aggressive estimate saying that deliver it within 6 weeks, that means that the 5 resources have to overwork. That means they are absolutely loaded, which might also lead to errors, right? Because if you're working in a high-pressure situation, the code that they develop might have a lot of errors in them, a lot of bugs in them, because they might not have had the time to do a lot of bug fixing or a lot of rigorous testing, etc. So this could be one of the challenges. Undermining the quality assurance efforts and putting the delivery at risk could lead to poor quality of the overall project delivered. So as I said, if there are very stringent timelines and the resources are also fixed, then where do they cut corners? I mean, you cannot expect people to work 24 hours, right? So there'll be some places where they would cut corners. In a typical IT project where corners get cut would not be in terms of the development phase, because that's where the actual coding happens. But corners are cut during the functional testing phase, or say the stress testing phase. That's because you would not document all the different cases that need to be tested, or the testing team is not doesn't have all the time. So assuming that there is a go live on day five, right, and the testing team has been given the functionality to test only on day four, that means they don't have sufficient amount of time to frame the test cases, run the testing scenarios, etc., right? So it's not just because that they don't want to do it, but then it's because things are coming to them at the nth hour. So whose loss is it anyway? So it's a loss of the business stakeholder, because they have set some aggressive timelines, or the project was estimated using a wrong estimation technique, where a lot of underestimation was done in terms of resources and the cost and the timelines, because of which the project had serious delivery performance issues. Also, setting up a realistically short schedule, that is an unrealistic schedule, can result into loss of credibility for the whole team, as the deadlines will be frequently missed. So what would happen is, maybe say there are functional releases of certain modules, having very stringent timelines, not taking into account say the utilization of the human resources, and if there are very strict timelines to work at, people might miss a deadline, say for one of the functionalities. But if they keep missing these deadlines because of overutilization, then it sets a bad taste in the with the business stakeholders. So it would then lead to the credibility issues, where the software vendor might not really have a credible face to show to the business owner, because they keep missing on the project deadlines. Underestimating also leads to some of the problems that, say, because of lack of experience in the relevant project, new vendors or startups may undercut to win the project, and provide an estimate that is too low. So this typically happens where you have a boutique vendor bidding for a project, and I have worked on many of these. So say things like AML, or say ALM, that is a asset and liability management, which is a typical module which is needed in all banks and financial institutes. There are established players in the market, so players like SAP, players like SAS, etc., who are far mature in this particular line of business. So when banks want the asset liability module, these software vendors have a particular module which takes say X amount of time, when say the customers or the banks take quotations from some of the boutique manufacturing boutique firms, or the boutique consulting firms, or the startups, they might give a very aggressive timeline, and also a very aggressive price quotation in terms of the overall implementation. So that might not really work, because it might be unrealistically low. Although it's absolutely tempting from the end customer's perspective to look at them, but then because these are new companies, they would just want to, you know, kind of secure the business for them. That is the reason why they undercut, and they would want to get the line of business. But from a customer's perspective, again, they have to judge the overall credibility of the player. Have they done similar businesses? What are the timelines? Maybe do some of the reference checks, reference calls to understand that the timelines that they are quoting are really realistic in nature or just being quoted for the sake of winning the order. The same is possible when it's a new staff member or a project manager who is overly enthusiastic. Again, maybe a newcomer or a fresher who is just too optimistic about sharing aggressive timelines and hence is providing aggressive estimate for the overall project completion, just to be ahead of others, just to, you know, showcase that kind of exuberance for the overall project. With this, I'd again like to thank you for viewing, and I'll see you in the next class.